Insource, don't outsource. Merge virtual teams into your culture to leverage growth.
Hey, I'm JW Oliver, and I have an exciting person, my favorite in the industry, Downtown Jackie Brown. How are you, Jackie?
I am fabulous and so excited to be here. So excited. I'm seriously like grateful that you reached out and were like, hey, let's chat a minute because I always enjoy talking to you.
Yeah, well, you know, we've always had fun at the events, right? We just talked about that a little bit before we recorded that it's nice to go to these events and develop friendships, invest in people and engage with them and not have to say, hey, how many will you want to buy today? You know, it gets kind of old. So you and I always do that, right? We laugh, we cut up, kid with each other a little bit. And, you know, I think it makes a great friendship and great working relationship too.
No doubt.
So Jackie, you are the head honcho for human resources for Community Dental Partners. And I love your background, Elevate, Collaborate, and Serve. Tell us about, we try to talk about hard stuff here and whether it's physical or whether it's emotional or whether it's mental and things we do in our lives, you know, going through family stuff or work stuff. And you've got a difficult task. Y'all are a large organization with a lot of people. Tell me the challenges, especially recently, let's say post-COVID, if you will, of what are those challenges people face in the talent acquisition / recruiting / human resources world?
Well, number one, you said we only had 20 minutes. And so I don't know that I can answer that question, but in the time that we have, however, we do know that talent acquisition is definitely a challenge. I think we've all been just struggling. You know, COVID came along, the great resignation, people vying for just how much I'm going to pay them. You know, we lost a ton of people to not just other dental offices, but we lost people out of the dental industry by the thousands, like people just leaving the dental industry and going to something completely different. Wow. And so we have felt a lot of pains from that. You know, people will go down the street and work at Chick-fil-A. They'll go down the street and work at Buc-ee's. I don't know if everybody knows what Buc-ee's is, but it's the ultimate gas station. And they offer some really great benefits and some great compensation packages. And we've just seen the dental industry has taken a hit. And we definitely have felt that here at Community Dental Partners for sure.
Well, and I think there's a lot of conversation too about how you do lose to Buc-ee's. And by the way, I've got great barbecue at Buc-ee's. I like their barbecue sandwiches. But they've got, you know, that you're losing people for, hey, they get 25 cents more an hour or a dollar or 50 cents. And then there's those benefits or maybe some extra days off. But you definitely can speak to this better than I, but when you look at why people are dissatisfied with their jobs, the number one reason is never money, right?
Yeah.
It's usually in that top couple, but what experiences do you have? You know, people talk about culture, that's kind of that hot keyword, and culture has to be good. And then people talk about feeling appreciated, which I've always believed and read that's one of the most important as well. How do you see those rank within your organization, or how do you try to promote that?
So for sure, for me, and that's why I joined Community Dental Partners, was because of the culture. I mean, in HR, I can go and find a job. There's a ton of jobs out there, but truly you're right. People usually don't leave jobs. They usually leave people. And that means that they normally feel like they're not appreciated. As human beings, we want to be seen and heard. That is very important to just the innate person, just being a human. We want to be seen and heard. And so culture is huge for me. And culture is, you know, our nine pillars here at Community Dental Partners is very important to us. We show up with our nine pillars when we're talking, how we wrap people up when we're coaching them. We use our nine pillars. We support everything that we talk about. Like when we're recruiting, we bring a lot of nine pillars with us when we're having those conversations, because you're right. Customers, very, very, you know, that customer service, but that internal relationship, like I will work really, really hard. I can go long and hard and fast when I know I've got really good people around me that care. When you start to feel like, oh, things are getting a little wonky, people don't really care, people are backstabbing each other, there's a lot of gossip going around, that is just not a healthy environment. at all. And we know that as the economy has gotten a little wonky and the price of everything is going up, people are starting to feel the effects in their pocketbook. And so then things get heightened. I get a little more upset about things. And so we know that culture and relationships play a huge role. And I would say that that's number one in a lot of research that I look at. Again, I'm going to go back to people leave people, not jobs. And so when they don't have support, when they don't feel appreciated, we lean on our top two as humility and gratitude. Those are the top two pillars for us. And so I think you have done a really good job as far as anyone that I deal with your group. You can tell that you have hired people that have those same qualities. I know that we have a lot of employees that work for your organization that we contract with you for. Same kind of thing. When we have conversations, when you know we're hiring people, whether it's through contractor or just hiring them off the street kind of thing, we always ask questions around our nine pillars because we want to make sure that we're hiring people that fit the culture because it definitely can affect your turnover.
Yeah, I think those, look, a lot of people talk about culture. They talk about their mission statement. They talk about their values, but they don't integrate them, right? I mean, it becomes a placard on the wall.
Right.
And I think that is where you really see the degradation in being able to live those out. You know, we've got some little acronyms we do, you know, that we can talk about ours, so we can talk about them within our context of our organization. But you're right. It's one thing to have visions and values and cultures and mission statements, but, I'll speak, this is interesting about CDP, Community Dental Partners, is that even in our office, and y'all have been a client for Support DDS for 4 years or so. And we even have an area we've repainted and it's got Community Dental Partners on the wall. But every one of those team members has a little laminated placard with those nine core values and those nine pillars, as you call them. And I think that's important because, again, it's not something at a corporate level that you click on a website and say, oh, yeah, we believe in, hang on, I forgot what all of them were, but just a minute. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Humility. You brought that up, too. I think that was interesting. I've noticed that, and I've had to change the way I approach that. Too often we meet, especially a team member, right? Somebody who maybe works for us or down the line. And I used to try to talk about myself. Oh, I did this and I've done this and I've got this. But in the end, really people want to tell you about themselves, right? You engage them and they usually want to unload on you or tell you about themselves. And I think as a leader, it's something that you learn is just to listen, right? And try to listen and engage and give that person. And those are the little bitty things that will add the value to the culture. And I'm sure you've experienced the same.
Truly, truly. And honestly, this was one of the conversations we had today in our leadership meeting was just around the nine pillars and everything that we do. And so we were working on a new 90-day conversation, like a one-on-one. So every 90 days, we want to have a one-on-one with each individual, you know, every level, every person in the organization. And so we were working through the questions that we want to have, and we are just going to have like five questions. But the one-on-ones are so important because people, number one, want to have an opportunity to connect. Number two, want an opportunity to give feedback. And so you can always say, yes, my door is always open, but yet is it really like, do they really feel that they can come and talk to you about things? And so given the opportunity to allow the individual to, number one, focus on, and we do include the pillars. And so our question is where do you feel you excel in our nine pillars? Of the nine pillars, which one do you excel in? And then which one do you feel like you can get a little bit better and how can I help support you? And then another question we'll be asking is where do you feel that you see improvements needing to be made or efficiencies needing to be made in our department, in our practice, in our specific little subgroup, giving them that opportunity to then give some feedback because then people want to feel like they've got some ownership and some control around what's going on around them. And I'm telling you, we have gotten some really great ideas from just asking people, hey, how do you think we could do this better? And so that's where our humility pillar comes in is number one, giving feedback and accepting feedback is huge for us because there's always room for improvement. but you do it in a manner that people feel that you really care about them and that you're not judging them. You're not going to talk down to them. Even when you have to give bad news, we just were having that conversation today that when you give bad news, you still need to show up with individual compassion because there's always a person at the other end of whatever the conversation is that you're having. And so honestly, the culture is huge and relationships are major.
Yeah. Yeah. And you and I, we talked about a tough situation you had gone through in the past year or so where you had to call some people with some bad news and some of the people that work for you, like, hey, do you want me to do that? And you said, no, I need to be the one to do this. And you did it. You stepped out and did that. And I think that shows that level of humility and not the insulation that you're going to put in between yourself. You know, you said something that was interesting about one-on-ones and saying, oh, my door is always open. But just because your door is always open doesn't mean that person's ever going to walk through it, because most people don't feel comfortable doing that, right? And exactly. I think it's also important to remember the setting. You know, if you bring them into some big ivory tower corporate office and, you know, they feel really, really out of place. But I do this a lot when we go to Harare. There's a gentleman there. His name's Tinashe. And it's funny, he's worked for us for over 5 years. And he literally is part of our cleaning detail. You know, he's in charge of what we call office appeal. And he's been there a long time. So I was like, hey, I should grab lunch with Tinashe. And so just taking time to spend, even if it's 10 minutes, right? And out of that comfort setting into an area, and just to be able to say, hey, we really appreciate you. You don't know how much we appreciate what you do here. You're important. And you can just see people just beam and glow from that little bit of interaction. So I think you have to take more than initiative than just saying, my office is always open, or schedule an appointment with me. Reach out and schedule an appointment with that person as well.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So that's interesting. It's more than just about that kind of that foreseen culture and how that works. Well, another hard thing for you is we call it, you know, when we look at remote teams, you've got onshore, nearshore, and offshore. We always say onshore would be people who work from home, like you. You work from your you wake up about 10:30 in the morning, get out of bed, work from your kitchen till about 11:30, and then you're done. So you're a remote worker. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I know Jackie works harder than that. But people who are even working from their home for CDP, that's a remote worker. And then we have what we call our nearshore, which is like our Costa Rica office for Spanish speakers. And then obviously our offshore is in Zimbabwe. How is that you're able to manage really, really what I call a hybrid workforce now? And you've got a hybrid group of people working in three various locations. How difficult is that to not only recruit, hire, and manage, but also embed that culture into the different scenarios? Because it's one thing to develop a culture in an office setting, and it's another to do it with somebody working in Montana, somebody in Costa Rica, and somebody in Zimbabwe. So how do you manage that process?
No doubt COVID has blown the doors open. We were already doing it prior to COVID, but definitely COVID has knocked the doors down when it comes to that. We actually had we had 186 people here at the support center. We have about 15 here today. And it's amazing that the majority of our staff that's at the support center level actually works from home, whether it is, you know, here or with your group. We've also got a ton of team members who work all over the United States, and we even have one that works in Costa Rica. And so we have allowed team members to work from home for quite a while. And it's interesting because COVID made a lot of people start figuring out how to use Zoom, right? And everyone was just getting so sick of Zoom meetings and tired of, you know, trying to come up with all these fun little activities. But honestly, we were kind of already doing that prior to that. And whether the person works here in person, whether they work for, you know, you guys in Zimbabwe, or whether I've got, you know, one in Utah, California, or Costa Rica, we treat everybody as if they're part of the team. Yeah. And so we really, truly make sure that they feel like they're part of the team. The unfortunate thing is my HR team, I do have one person who does not live in Texas. Everyone else does. And so every other month, we do make sure that we come to the support center and meet in person. And we do have the one individual who doesn't live in Texas, but we always schedule some kind of an activity to make sure that our people that don't live here still feel like they're connected. And so we have different little games and different little things. And it's really for me, and every meeting that we start with a positive focus. And so we allow that positive focus to be about your personal life or your work life. And it's fun and interesting to hear backgrounds from different people. You know, someone who's living in New York has a totally different experience in the summer than I do here in Texas, because, you know, we're not going to go outside. It's July. It's 106. And we're
no outside activities allowed.
We're like going outside. And she's like walking her dog and all these things. And so it's just really, it's fun and interesting to have connections, no matter where you are, having those connections. And, you know, I've got some really, really special individuals that, you know, we have contracted with you guys for that are still very special to me, that still connect, whether they still work for us or not, through Facebook. So we all have had that virtual connection for a long time. And so I think that we just continually treat people the same, regardless of where they are. But we also make sure we're really purposeful in not making people feel disconnected when they don't work in the same location. And so the good thing is the majority of us don't. And so we all are kind of remote. And so anyway, but I really, I value how much, especially you guys have done for our teams to make sure that, you know, we're having parties here or doing a cookout or something here. And then we also make sure that our Zim staff do the same thing. We care about giving back. And so I know that they'll do different little, you know, things where they're giving back food to somebody, or they're doing some kind of supply drive for kids or something like that. And so I just love the fact that we do those connections, and you don't really notice, or you don't really know how far away they live, because they feel like they're right here because of those connections that we make sure we make. Again, it's the relationship and knowing them as a person and not just another employee.
Well, and I think we've learned, you know, it's funny you say that. I mean, I remember Zoom first came out, you know, I'd had to sometimes figure out what to click where and, oh, how do I share screen? And now you're like, okay, well, that's the bottom left little three buttons and click it and click two down. You're like, oh, how did I know all that? But there, it has brought us into a understanding that you can be efficient working remotely or working from home. But interesting you brought that up, because we've actually come up with a number of ways that people can help integrate them into their team. And I've brought this up to people, like, you can have a virtual coffee. Say, hey, would you like to have coffee at 3 o'clock on Wednesday? I'd love to just visit with you for 10 minutes. Or like, yeah, you know, I think I'll actually get a cup of coffee and I think I'll actually do this. Doing the hybrid lunches together, which you talked about. Hey, we're bringing in lunch on Wednesday. We're going to buy you guys lunch as well. Do that. We've got dental offices that bring them into their weekly huddle meetings and they make them part of the team. They Zoom them in. So there's all kinds of ways you can swag people. They love swag, right? We say that all the time. Like, man, if you can send them a t-shirt or a hat or a mug, whatever to drink out of it, you'll see them all the time going, oh yeah, I got my, you know, CDP mug. So there are ways, and that's whether it's near shore, offshore, just remote in the US or what, you make them feel part of that group and not something out there. So there's all kinds of ways to really bring that team into that cohesiveness. So, hey, Jackie, I don't want to take up a ton of your time. I just think it's interesting what you're doing and how you've managed that, because we never hear of any, I'm sitting here thinking that I don't want to speak incorrectly, but I believe your team has the probably one of the lowest, if not the lowest, turnover rates of our 300 plus clients that we have, of actually staying with you. And I think no doubt that's because of the nine pillars, the culture, and being inclusive of the organization. And so I think that's really a tribute to what y'all have been able to do there as well.
Thank you. Yes, we truly do. we value people as people. And truly, the Norma earlier, and I know she has a ton of people that work in Zimbabwe. And that was one of the things we were talking about was, is, you know, making them feel connected, always checking in with them. We just care about people. And we know that you guys do too. So I appreciate you having the conversation with me. This, you know, it's the thing is we can have a lot of conversations about work and KPIs and all those things. But honestly, if you're not really purposely taking care of people as people and growing relationships, you're going to continue to just watch that turnover just continue. And so honestly, appreciate that you feel that this is important, because it is to me, and I appreciate all the conversations that we've had about it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you're right. You get tired of hearing about ROI, KPI, EBITDA, and every other term. You're like, you know, what about, can we just do some virtual coffee or maybe grab some pizza or do something as a team? And I think that makes a lot of difference. Okay, so three quick questions. This is the rapid thunder. Since you stole my thunder recently, I'm going to call it the rapid thunder fire. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
What's your favorite recent book you've read?
Recent book I've read. John Gordon, and I reread it again, The Energy Bus. If you have not done The Energy Bus, I love The Energy Bus, putting the right people in the right seats of the bus, putting energy where it needs to be, getting rid of your vampires who like to just suck the culture right out of everything. John Gordon, Energy Bus.
Surely you've not ever had somebody on your team that you just dreaded going to a meeting with because they could just suck the life right out of you. I mean, I've had a few of those in my career, and I'm like, oh, I've got to go meet with so-and-so. And then you're thinking, why are they still here? You know, that's not a good culture fit. All right.
No.
Favorite city you have visited?
Favorite Anywhere. City in the whole world, you're saying? Or
go worldwide.
Whole world. Rome.
And Rome.
Rome, yes. And it was because I just was so in awe of the majestic of the, like, just thinking through the buildings and how crazy to think people were building those things years and years and years and years and years ago without all the things that we have right now. I just was like, man, some really smart people have walked these streets way, way before me. And I was just in awe of just
how great. And they were walking them with a sandals and a sheet on, and they were happy. Right. You know, it's funny you say about Rome. I remember my wife and kids 8 or 10 years ago, we went on a little bike tour through Rome, and we were biking underneath some of the old aqueducts where they used to drag water to the cities, and they're going, and I can't remember the date, so don't quote me, but they were like, yeah, that one was built in 1420. And I'm thinking, 1420? I'm like, what? Seriously. What are they talking about? Like that, you know, that's 700 years old or whatever. Like, what do they even mean? So, yeah. And my favorite city, I'll have to say, to make it too long, is Florence, Italy. So I love Rome. Great stuff, tons of stuff. But I remember I had this memory of sitting in Florence, and we were sitting out having a glass of wine and eating a hamburger with, it was actually my mom, my sister, my wife. And I'm in this big plaza, and I'm looking over there, and there's Michelangelo's David statue or the replica of it out front in the plaza. And I'm just sitting there with sunglasses on thinking, oh, I could do this every day, you know, like literally people watching. So, yeah, we've got the same affinity towards to Italy as well. And the last one, what is the one place that you haven't visited that's at the top of your list?
I want to go to Australia. At some point, I have not been to Australia, and that is on my list.
Interesting. My 30th anniversary is next year, and I've told my wife it might be we need to go to New Zealand and Australia, and because I've not been, and I hear amazing things about that as well.
Yes. Well, I hope you get to go. Congratulations on 30 years next year. That's exciting.
Almost there. Yeah. You've been married 30 as well, right?
Been married 30. Yes.
Pat, you've passed 30.
November was 30.
Congratulations. Yeah. Well, look, if we want to talk about doing hard stuff, it is staying married when you don't like your spouse anymore, but you know you love them. Right. And so I think as you get a little older and we're about the same vintage or near it, that you're kind of always going, you know, look, I'm not trading mine in for any reason in the world, but you can, you know, it's sad to think that people can't make it to 30 years or 40 years or 50 years because, you know, there's something they don't like about their spouse. And I'm like, well, you just need to get over that, because I still can't stand the way my wife actually sent me a little meme or a little cartoon the other day. It says, I think I posted on Facebook because she drives me crazy how she loads the dishwasher. And I said, so she found this little thing on Twitter or something that said, one member of our household loads the dishwasher like a raccoon on meth, and the other one loads it like they're going to a German train station. And I was like, yeah. So, but that's a pretty small thing to be worried about. So, right, we're not going to put a lot of effort into that. Well, Jackie, thank you. I'll see you in Australia next year. We're going to be there. And I appreciate y'all's, not only your business, but more importantly, I appreciate your friendship, and because you invest the time when we see each other to talk. And even we've gone out with group dinners and have fun. So thank you for that. And God bless, and have an amazing rest of your week.
You as well, my friend. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Thanks, Jackie.